So welcome back to another episode of Hearing in Colour. We have a special guest today is Mayara Souza, and she does sound therapy, which is very interesting because it links into music, something I know quite a bit about. So if you could introduce yourself and tell us what you do and the services you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Mayara, and now I live in New Zealand. I got trained to do what I do in the States. I lived in the States for about 12 years, and I got a lot of training done in sound therapy. I initiated it actually to heal my own stuff. You know, we bring our own stuff from childhood, and I initiated the process exploring for my own healing, and I got fascinated by working with sound and how the nervous system responds to sound, and I got very curious about it. So I started researching more, and I got trained to do it as a job, and I started doing it little by little with other things that I was doing, and eventually I shifted to doing it full time. And I absolutely love it. I like to do the podcast because I get to have the opportunity to educate people on how it works, because I noticed that the person that trained me, she has a huge platform, she has a huge following, and she teaches a lot on how it works to use sound to tune our biofield around our bodies and bring the nervous system back into balance. And a lot comes out of it, you know, sleep cycles, digestive cycles, a bunch of things. We can get to that later. But I noticed that people listen to her. She does a lot of talks and workshops and things, and she sends people to her website to find someone that's certified in the method to work with. And people find me and they reach out and ask a whole bunch of questions. A lot of people, this is their first introduction to sound as a form of healing. They have no idea that sound can be used in that way. So I like the podcast in that sense that I can get the opportunity to educate people, because a lot of people have no idea how this works. So I appreciate the platform to be here and talk to people about this. It's really a big passion of mine.
Great. Yeah, I think maybe the one example people would accept sound for healing would be ultrasound for kidney stones and things like that. But otherwise, it would be considered quite an airy-fairy type thing. So you said you've had some training. Is that formal training? Like formal qualifications? Could you talk about that?
Yes, so she teaches you. I use tuning forks. People, one of the first questions that I get as well is that people get introduced to sound as a form of therapy through singing bowls or those Himalayan bowls. Himalayan, I'm not sure if I remember it correctly, but you know what I'm talking about. So people go to the sound baths and they have this experience, and it's great. It's very relaxing. It's a great experience. And they ask me, like, is it the same? And what I like to explain the difference is that it's the same in the sense of relaxing the nervous system, but it's different in a way that the sound bath, it's more of a broad relaxation. It's like kind of like getting a massage. A massage is great, but you're not necessarily addressing a physical issue or a mental issue. You are not necessarily like addressing something specific that gets healed by that process. It's very relaxing. It's great. It really helps with whatever it is that you're going through. But the way that we work with the tuning forks, it's more specific. So we are addressing something. It's almost like a treatment for something specific. So that is the difference that we see in between going to have a sound bath and using the forks. So in the training, what we learn is to read the behavior of the fork, because the sound will bounce on the body and come back. And sometimes when there's a lot of distortion in the field, there's some rigidity within the body, the sound doesn't flow as freely. There's blockages that hold the sound. So we watch the behavior of the fork, and the fork tells us the story, where the blocks are and what is going on with the body, with the physical body, and the field around the body. This field surrounding the body, we call it now biofield, because it holds all the information from our biology, all our mental information, memories, and experiences. It's all stored within this field that it's around our bodies. So we tend to say, like, we can feel people's energies. Like, you look at someone, you kind of know if you are drawn to talk to them, or if you want to just, you know, kind of repulsed by the energy of the person.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And we look at it in a way that we look at this as also our mind. It's not only inside of us, but also surrounding our body with all our experiences and memories and everything that's us. The fork, the sound from the fork moves through these sound waves, moves through this field. If the field is clear, aligned, adjusted, we can see that the fork sounds cool and beautiful. It's very there's a lot of coherence within the sound. When there's something in there that needs to be released, some blocks, we also say it in a way that's like when something happens to us and there's some sort of response from the nervous system, it could be fear, it could be anger, whatever it is, the situation, that type of stuff tends to get frozen within the nervous system because not always we have the opportunity to release those things that come up for us. So with those emotions, that situation is stored frozen within the nervous system. We notice that by the behavior of the fork because the sound is not having the opportunity to flow freely. So learning those things, we learn different ways of approaching also those blockages to help the person to release it. And also we talk to the client throughout the session, ask questions. A lot of the times we ask questions and they get a lot of insights out of it. We ask the right questions and they get this huge insight from, way back when sometimes they were even kids and something has happened to them that they remember in that moment and they can see how that, let's say, fear that got stored within their nervous system, got frozen within their nervous system, is bringing rigidity to their life now. And it's directly related to whatever it is that they came to treat in session. So they get to do these correlations of what has happened way back then that now is still having an effect on them because it wasn't released from the system. It's some sort of shock that got frozen within their nervous system and it's having an effect on them now as an adult. So there's a lot of that happening as well.
Yeah, so for example, on a physical level, if someone has a lot of tension or stress, that can manifest in muscle cramps and tension in the muscles. So you can, yeah, sort of physically massage that out. And then on the energy level, then that's creating blockage as well. So I'm quite interested to hear like the actual method of how that works, because again, like coming from a musical background, I imagine, or trying to explain to some of the musical friends I have, if someone is sort of lying on a table, say your treatment table, they're lying there. And the energy is like a field, and the sound wave comes into that. And then if there's problems, there's interference. So, how do you, so do you choose different forks, or do you maybe just start with the same one, or just hit one and see, listen to how the sound sort of reflects back, and then if there's any problems, or you can hear the distortion and the reflection, do you then what direct more sound towards it and work on it until it clears, and then move on to the next area? Is that generally how you work?
It can be a variety of different ways that we can approach because what's happening is that because I am right there with the client within their field is filled with information. I'm also using that information to do the work. So when something like that happens and I can see clearly that there is a block because of the behavior of the fork, it's not functioning the way that it does when everything is clear. When I see that, I can also interact with the field in a way that I ask questions and we get answers. It's like you were saying on the beginning, it can sound kind of like woo-woo, pretty out there, but it works. The thing is that it works. We don't have to know like all the minutiae of the whole thing, but we know that it works. So I know that I am around you and I have access to all of the information that is around you. So when I notice a blockage, I ask your system, do I continue with this frequency, with this fork? Do I get a new one? And I get an answer. And I go and I don't hesitate. I listen to it and I either continue with the same fork, I get a new fork, I go to a different part of the body. Sometimes the client also gives me the answer. Sometimes they say, I feel tingling or a moving pain in this area of the body, and I can go and address. And then when I come back to where I was working on, I strike the fork again and there is no blockage. The
Right.
fork sounds completely full, completely liberated and coherent. So I just listen to the session. It's like the session is feeding me with information as I'm feeding it with the sound to give me more information. So it's kind of this reciprocal relationship that I'm having with the field around the person. And one of the things that fascinates me the most about this is that right now, I've been doing this for years. Right now, I would say 90% of my clients are remote. So I work with people through Zoom and I still have access to the field around their body. I work with them through Zoom. I turn off my camera so it doesn't distract the client because you're supposed to lay down, close your eyes, relax, and let go and let your system do the self-repairing, right? If I have my camera on and you are looking at me walking around my table here with the forks and stuff, you get distracted, right? So I turn off my camera. we leave the headphones on. You continue to listen to the forks through your headphones or your speaker, however you decide to do it. I have a holographic map that I put on my treatment table, and that is going to guide me through the session. And I might ask you questions through, you know, our communication. I might ask you questions and see what are you noticing, each part of the body. But a lot of the times I don't even have to, because as I listen to the field around the body and I follow whatever it is that is asking, I follow that information and I do the work here, the person just confirms to me that they are feeling it, that they are noticing all the way over there. I work with people all over the world, and it's very interesting. Time zones are completely different. I'm in New Zealand. I'm one day ahead of most people, and we are working together live through Zoom, and I start working on an area of the body addressing something that I have noticed here working on my treatment table. And as soon as I start striking in that area, more often than not, I get the person tell me, oh, I noticed this part of my body now. It's all tingly and there's a lot of energy moving. And it's, are you working there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm exactly in that area of your body. So you can see that there is really no separation. Like, you don't necessarily need to be here with me physically for us to work together. And I know that this like triggers a lot of people that are skeptical about this stuff. I would just say, try it and see what happens. I have in my website, when you go check out my website, you probably saw it there. There's a little pop-up window that pops up that you can put your email and get a free session sent to you. Okay. Listen to the session. That session is recorded. And I have people reach out to me like, gosh, I heard about this. I heard about you. And I came to your website to check it out. And I'm very skeptical about it. I have no idea how you do this. And especially because you do it remotely. But then I saw that you offer this little free session for us to kind of test it out and see how it goes. And then they go, I got the session. I started listening to it. And I started crying right away. And all this release of energy started happening. And all these things. And my body was like this moving pain around my body, this tingling, this thing, that thing. And then I finished. And I was so much lighter. Like, I feel so much better. Like, something happened there. And imagine, the session was recorded, right? But yeah. The session was recorded with intention. Like, you were talking about music. Musicians, they record songs, and you listen to a song that might have been recorded before you were even born, and the song might touch you, and you might start crying and feel all these emotions and these things moving through you from a song that was recorded you didn't even exist by then, you know? So these things, like, you don't have to be live with me for this stuff to help you with whatever it is that you want help with.
That's interesting, yeah, because I've got some experience in energy healing, and I know that works remotely very well, and similar to what mm-hmm. you're saying, because you can sort of imagine the person next to you, even though they're somewhere else, and then work on them, and it, you know, like you said, it can actually be more effective, because you can be a bit more relaxed, and they're more relaxed, because there's not that I am right next to you kind of thing. Yeah, and it can be, and because you're more relaxed, then like it can flow more through, and yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You can well, that, because then you can sort of feel where what you need to and get the feedback through that. So yeah. So if you're working remote with someone, so you will have this map out, and then you sort of tune the forks onto the map, and then it responds or gives you the information that you need as if they were there.
Yes. And I would just add, like, I agree with you 100%. This is one of the reasons why the majority of my clients now do remote sessions, even when I live close to them. What happens is that sometimes they come to see me for the first time because they can, because they're close to my office or something like that, and they do a session. And then they tell me, like, but I learned that you also do this remotely. I would love to try and see how I like it. They don't come back because they say, I don't want to deal with traffic. I don't want to drive to you. And, yeah. You know, and what I noticed that they noticed this difference, that it's exactly what you're saying. The nervous system feels the safest in our sacred space, which is our home. So if you are going to come to see me, that's great. My office now is in my home. You know, it's very cozy and everything, but it's still not the place where you go every night to relax and let go and fall asleep, like your bed or your couch. Yeah. So your system feels the safest if we do it remotely, because you're going to be home and I'm going to be home. And it's exactly what you said. The system doesn't have that pressure of like, oh, this is a different environment. I got to be alert and check things out and see if there's any threat. There's none of that, because you're at home, the place where your nervous system already knows you are the safest. So it works beautifully. And it's exactly like you said. I strike the fork and I move the fork around the map that I have. And this map also helps me, because We also look at this method pretty similar to Chinese medicine in a way that our organs store different types of emotions. And this is universal. It doesn't matter, you know, gender, age, nothing. It's universal. Human beings hold on to anger in the liver, you know, these other emotions in other organs of the body. So the map that I have shows me these areas as well. So it's very interesting. Sometimes I'm working in a certain organ that holds on, stores rigidity related to certain experiences and emotions and all that, and I notice that I don't have to say anything to the client where I'm working, but the client might start saying like, I feel hot, like there's some sort of anger coming up, and it's exactly what I'm clearing out of the system. It's exactly where I'm working. They start feeling it as it starts to move up, to move through and flow out. So that's another very interesting thing too, that's always confirming that everything is working very well together. They notice what's happening, and there, it's exactly what I'm doing from here.
And is there people for whom it's not suitable? Like, for example, if someone is pregnant or like really, really sick, or I know there's some chronic conditions that can help alleviate that. Is there sometimes where it doesn't help, or like, I guess with energy healing, like you ask intuitively first and then say yes or no, but is there some things that you recommend maybe wouldn't be suitable for sound therapy?
Yeah, so the reason for that is that when we start with the session, we are just initiating the system in this process of releasing whatever it is that's stagnated there, that's creating rigidity and tension within the system. So we initiate the process. So the next few days, you might still continue to notice some stuff moving. You know, you might be a little over emotional or overly tired, something like that will come up and you'll notice. Not necessarily. Some people kind of just go through life normal and they don't necessarily notice any changes, but they notice down the road, like after a month or two, they're like, I'm so much calmer than I used to be, or something. They will notice something down the road. But what happens is that this cleansing period that the system is initiating in session, but it will continue to do, for some people can feel like a detoxing, and it can be pretty intense for the body. It's not super common, but it can happen if we're dealing with the stuff that's stored there for years and years and years, and it has created lots of tension, lots of rigidity, and we go in and we kind of like dismantle that stuff. Yeah. It will continue to release for a few days. And the problem with these people, someone that might be pregnant, someone that might have cancer, like very advanced cancer, what happens with that is that the body might be depleted, like in a cancer or near death, you know, situation, the body gets depleted. So it might be that this detoxing, it's too much for the body. So we definitely don't recommend working with sound. We might talk to them, do a session more talking through whatever it is that they need to release, but not use the forks. And the pregnant might have a miscarriage or something like that, because the detoxing, it's like the system is trying to eliminate whatever it can, and it might, you know, have a miscarriage in there because of this detox period. So there are conditions that we talk to the client first, and it might be that the method is not appropriate in that point in their lives. But for the majority of people, it's really no problem. If you are, you know, healthy enough, and you just have this condition that you're trying to treat, but your body is not like depleted and super weak, you should be just fine.
Yeah, because when you've got that, all that stuff's being released to be processed, obviously you've got more sort of garbage floating around your system, so to speak. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, if you were very, very weak, that might not be a good idea, but most people would be able to handle that.
Yeah, true.
So do you have any plans to work with other instruments, or is there another stage from working on from forks to other things? Is it within the field, or is that something you're looking at or thinking about?
That's a great question, actually, because yes, but not with other instruments. I love what I do with the tuning forks. I have enough of them. I don't have like a huge variety of them, because it's definitely not needed. The ones that I have definitely do the work and do it well. But what I notice is that I also have a background in shamanism. I have worked a lot with plant medicine. I assisted in ceremony for a while, and I have a lot of experience with the plants and the power that the plants have to help and support our system on our own healing. So what I'm doing now, I'm getting certified as a herbalist. So I'm going to bring herbs into the mix, because what I want is not more instruments for me to work one-on-one with people, or even group sessions. I also do group sessions. What I want is not to increase the amount of tools that I have to work with the client. What I want is something that I can recommend for the client to do their own work from home, because they ask me a lot of that in between sessions, if there's anything else that they can do that can support the body. And herbal medicine is so efficient to help the system to do the processing afterwards, the integration of the session, the release of whatever it is releasing. So herbal medicines are very helpful for that. So I'm studying that right now, getting my certification to be able to apply also herbalism into the sound healing.
So would that be not necessarily during the session, but more as a follow-up thing? Like you say,
yes.
If they've done the session, now I feel that you'd benefit from taking these things
yes.
on a regular basis.
Me as the practitioner, I do use that in session as well, because I have a relationship with the plants that really helps me to understand what's happening in session. So it's almost like I get to understand where the where is the causation of the condition that we're treating in session, and which plant would come in and support a healing that the cause of the problem.
Right.
This is one of the things that I love about this method as well. The difference is that we're not managing symptoms. We are going in deep on the cause of the problem and releasing the cause of the problem so it doesn't come back. So the herbs will help in that. So I feel like in session, I get a lot of that kind of information as well. It's almost like the plants kind of show up in session, showing you which plants are good for each people. So I use it also in session. But for the clients, yes, it is like a prescription afterwards in which kind of formula or each isolated herb that would be helpful for them to continue their process.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you don't want to overcomplicate things. I like to do that myself. Considering some of the music I've written, it's quite complicated. But essentially, you know, it's just a method, isn't it? You're helping the person to help themselves, and
yes,
you're helping them clear those blocks so they can then finish the process. So if you've got, say, like racks and racks of forks and then bowls and all these things, it's obviously you know how to use it. You're intuitive, drawn to which one it is. But it's, yeah, sometimes less is more. And
yes,
again, just going back to energy healing, because I have a bit more experience in that than the sound thing. You start off maybe overthinking it, but then essentially, yeah, you work towards getting it as simple as possible and just letting it go through you. And then and then the remote is more powerful, because instead of even, you know, doing all the hand movements of things, but then more powerful than that is just if you can, you've trained your mind to really meditate and just hold an image of them in
yes.
perfect health, that can be even more powerful, because then that really can sort of shift the in that internal structure. So it's, yeah, maybe it's all a sort of a learning process, but it's it's very interesting to hear what kind of sound tools to use, because that's, you know, they're the tools of the job for me as well.
Yes. Yeah. And it's exactly what you're saying. What I wanted was more tools for the clients themselves rather than for me, because they go home and there's not a lot that they can do with the sound because they don't have the forks. Of course, I recommend something if they want to explore. You can hum. You know, you can hum and you're already like vibrating very differently, very coherently, everything in your body. So it's very helpful. But there's not a lot that they can really do. And then the herbal is more that it's tools for them to work at home than for me, more tools to work with them in session.
I think as well, they need to at least see you doing something or be aware of you doing something. They want to be relaxed, but at least they want to know that you're working for it. Because if you just said, right, I'm just going to meditate and like give you that clarity, like, what, you just sat there? No, I didn't. It's a lot more than that. But, you know, they need to see that you're doing something. Otherwise, are you doing something? Obviously, results show themselves. But
yeah, true.
So can you talk a little bit about your space? So the space you use for the healing, like what the room looks like or what things you've got in the room. So if someone walked in, what would they see?
So I use a bed now. I used to use a massage table, but one of the reasons why I wanted to change was because of what we're talking about. You know, you already leave home, your sacred space, and you come to see me in my office, and then you lay on a massage table. I find it not as comforting than laying on the bed. So I have a single size bed in the middle of the room, and you lay down. I have a pillow. I have those pillows that you can put under your knee to make yourself even more comfortable. If it's chilly, I have blankets and things like that for you to feel very comfortable. I have a huge window that outside is a whole bunch, like you can see a farm, you can see a bunch of trees and plants. It's very nature outside. And very lit, the room, very bright. I have maps on the walls that shows me the organs, the emotions, all the stuff that guides me through session to understand what is it that I'm working through. And also I like to show it to clients as well. When they show up and they show up with the condition, with the situation, I bring them to the map and I explain to them like what kind of situation, what kind, like grief, anger, whatever it is stored in that area of the body. And right away, as soon as they start looking at it, everybody goes like, oh my gosh, that makes perfect sense. It was this that happened, it was this that triggered. They can relate like very, very fast. So I like to show them the maps that I have that guide me. I like to show it to the clients too. I have books, I have water, I have candle. I have a couple of crystals that someone gave it to me. I don't use them a lot. They are part of our training. We have a crystal that is a Lumerian seed crystal, that is a clear crystal. And what happens is that when they research crystals and they measure the frequency within crystals are like a fascinating creature. Like they have crystallized a frequency within them that is so orderly, it's so organized, and it's almost like perfect. So what we do, we strike a weighted fork. I can show it to you. We have weighted forks like this that you can't hear it, but when I strike it, it vibrates. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it,
I
but it
can see it
vibrates.
vibrating, yeah.
Yeah, and then I place it in areas of the body, and you can notice that vibration traveling through your body. So it's fascinating how even without the sound, we work also with vibration, and it's very effective. It really opens things up. If it's a place, I start working with a person and they might say, I feel a lot of tightness in my chest, and I bring this guy to the chest, it just opens up with the vibration. It's very fascinating. So what we do, we strike it and put the crystal on the body and put the fork on the crystal. And what we are doing, we are amplifying that orderly frequency from within the crystal to the body. So we bring that order into the body, and we kind of, it's almost like we're organizing something that is chaotic within the body, something that's functioning chaotically within the body. Like we work a lot with the adrenal glands, because when people are doing too
Stress, yeah.
much, overworking and all those things, that's bringing a lot of stress to the system. The adrenals get kind of like really overly working, and they get really tired, really dysfunctional, and they release a lot of hormones and stuff. So they are necessary to be very balanced. So we bring these guys and we put vibration to the adrenal. We do some adrenal reset. There's different sessions that we can work with. And the person notices right away how the whole body, the whole system starts calming down. It's kind of shutting down from the whole overworking that's kind of chaotic and hectic. It's starting organizing itself. So I do sometimes use the crystal for that purpose, but I don't have a whole bunch. I have just what I was trained to use. Yeah, I have plants, and things that make it cozy in the room. I have a couch that we can sit and talk before and after the session. I have water. I serve water to the clients. Water is another fascinating thing that we use a lot in this method, because the hydrotherapy really helps the energy to continue moving, and it hydrates the body when the body is doing this pretty intense work. So we recommend for the client to be hydrated before the session and after, to continue hydrating. We work with salt. We ask them to take a salt bath for the salt to interact with the cellular, part of their body, to really like discharge whatever it is that we are. We come in and we dismantle something that was there very rigid. And that stuff is trying to find its way to discharge. So you either walk barefoot on the ground or you take salt baths, and it really helps to discharge all the stuff that we are working with in session.
And imagine you treat a variety of conditions, but what are some of the more common ones? So imagine stress in general, not knowing what to do is must be a very common one, especially in today.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that say that. I read a lot of different doctors, and a lot of them mention that. They say that it seems like the majority of conditions that we develop in this modern world today, the root is in stress somehow. Physical stress, chemical stress, neurological stress, mental stress. So there is some sort of stress and tension that kind of starts the initiates the whole thing, and then it develops into a condition. So what we say is that it's recommended for a variety of different things, because what we are doing ultimately is bringing the whole nervous system back into balance, back into harmony, into coherence. And when we are functioning from that space, pretty much everything gets back to balance. So we see sleep cycle gets back to balance, digestive system, chronic pain gets released because the tension is there to show us something, that when the nervous system comes back to balance, there's no need for us to take a look at that anymore. Everything is balanced out. So we release this chronic pain sometimes in one session. People come and they say, I have this chronic pain in this part of my body for years, and I have tried other things, and sometimes it disappears and it comes back. And we do one session and the person notice a huge release. And then we continue working together. Pain disappears. It starts fading away, and never comes back. So mental stuff, anxiety, depression, whatever, like people have excess fear, you know, in our society today, such a common thing that comes from stress. We notice that with people, and we notice that everything started balancing out. First thing that we hear after a session when we ask what they are noticing is that people notice that they are lighter. It seems like they have just dropped some baggage that they have been bringing through life, that there's no necessity of that, and they feel lighter, like they can just like float through life. This is a very common thing we hear all the time. And then as we continue to do sessions and things start just coming back into balance in their lives. Like I said, all the cycles of the body and releasing pain and all that, skin conditions, respiratory conditions, everything starts balancing itself out and coming back to normal, functioning properly, right? The way the system needs to be functioning. And then people start saying things like, I just feel happier. I don't know. Like, I just feel happier. Yeah. And we're like, oh, that's great. I think everybody would like that, right?
Yeah, I guess, and like you said, once that initial stress has been relieved, it just helps their body to operate on a better level, and then they can start getting on with things, or maybe not forget why they were stressed. And obviously, if the situation that caused the stress doesn't resolve, it will come back, but perhaps help them deal with it better or from a new perspective, so then they can help deal with their situation.
It does. It definitely does. One of the things that we notice too is this. It's like life will continue to happen, right? Even though you are bringing your nervous system back into balance and all the cycles of your system are working properly, life will still continue to happen. So it will throw curveballs at you sometimes. What happens that we notice is that people used to get very upset about things, and things used to have a huge effect on them. You know, like they get destroyed by something that someone said or something that someone did, whatever it is that happened. The person used to be like destroyed by it and, you know, then feel very bad, get depressed or whatever it is. We notice that the continuation of this process of bringing the nervous system into balance and keeping it into balance, keeping it clear and working properly, things still happen, but your response changes. It's like you're way faster. It kind of knocks you off balance for a moment, but you come back to balance very quickly. And you don't let the thing destroy you anymore. You know, you don't need that huge reflective response from whatever situation. You are way faster to bring yourself back into balance, move on, and just continue. And I mean, that's huge, because life will continue to happen and things will continue to show up.
Yeah, it's like, because if you're carrying 500 problems, it's a big weight, and another one comes on you, it's more. But then if you're only carrying three and one comes, you know,
exactly.
Like you're much better to deal with it. And like, okay, I can walk
yeah.
a bit looser around the shoulders.
Yeah.
Time for a quick halftime break. If you're interested in learning guitar, I have a lot of online resources. So check out mattsimonguitar.com and find me on YouTube. I have Ultra Simple Guitar Course, Bar Chord Toolbox, and 60 Guitar Chords. So check them out. Okay, so let's get a little more esoteric now. So I'm really interested in other people's perceptions and how they perceive like music and energy and things, because everyone is, I mean, they've got their own individual sort of like cultural biases and like experiences, and then there maybe some skills. I've been talking to some different people about how they perceive music, how they actually see it in their heads, and talking to other people who have synesthesia. One artist I spoke to was very, very similar to how I see it, which is quite interesting, but also there must be so many people out there that statistically one person is, you know, like quite similar to what you're saying. So when you are doing the treatments and you're doing the sounds, how do you perceive it? Like, is it internal, external? Do you like build up pictures in your heads, or can you like hear things or feel, like does the sound as it's reflecting back, does it have like a different texture in the air? Like how do you, how does it start, and then how do you perceive what's going on?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I see everything happening. It depends on what it is that we're working with. But one thing that's very interesting to me is that on the beginning, we are kind of showing up as the practitioner, as a vessel for the healing of the client. So to whatever it is that needs to move through, that it can move through. So a lot of the times I notice in my body. So I started working on the field and I noticed something in my body and I asked the client, like, I noticed this pain or tingling or movement or whatever it is in this part of the body. And then they tell me what is that related. A lot of the times they had an accident and they hurt that part. And an accident is a perfect example of something frozen within the nervous system, you know, when you have an accident. And what happens is that something happens in that part of the body that creates so much tension and rigidity that they develop something in there, a chronic pain or whatever it is. And I noticed that in my body. I don't know their story. You know, they show up and they want to treat something, and there's tensions in different areas of the body that more often than not even them know what's happening until we start the session. And then we start this communication back and forth, and they get to realize things. So I do get to feel a lot in my body of what's happening, and I share with them, and the thing makes sense, and I go and I address, and we see the release of it. I get to see things sometimes. Sometimes I see some images and I chat with them about it, and they say that that's related to a memory from, you know, this age in their life, and it's related to this and that, and you know, this situation that had. There's a lot of move, like when people move and they're still kids, sometimes that can carry lots of hardship with it. So I see some images and I talk to them about it, and they say, this is exactly when we were moving and it was very hard for me and this and that. And then we release that rigidity that has formed in there. And we listen to stuff. My trainer she calls it the male's lot, this part behind our head, kind of on the top, on our neck, on the top of our neck, behind our back. She calls it the male's lot because it's so interesting. Like, we just get words thrown in or something, you know, and then we talk with the client about it, and it has a huge meaning for the client. For us, it's nothing. It's like, I don't know, chair, table, you know, whatever it is, like something just comes in, and we share with the client specifically about what we are working on. And sometimes people even start crying, you know, have these huge releases because that message that came in has a huge meaning for them, for whatever it is that we're working with. And for the clients, it's the same thing. We have clients that, you know, see things as we are working. They close their eyes and just go within, and they get to see images. They get to remember memories that sometimes got suppressed because, you know, it's some trauma or whatever has happened, and we suppress the memory. And they get that memory back, and they get very emotional. Like, there's a lot that happens in there. And then this has happened for me as well. And then it's like they call, you know, parents or someone, and they confirm that situation that came back to them that they had no access to it before. So we have people that see lots of color, as you know. Lots of color is very common for the clients to see lots of color moving as we are striking the fork, depending on the frequency. And one thing that I notice is that sometimes in the beginning, if the person tends to be more skeptical, they can feel the blockages. They're like, I can feel that I'm not relaxed enough because I don't know what's going on. And I try to educate them on the science behind the method as much as I can, and it really opens them up. And then they come for a next session, and they already tell, like, this is a completely different session. I can feel so much more. I can see so much more. So we notice that the person understanding the science behind the whole thing, they get to open up themselves more and get to be more part of the session, of the experience. Because you don't necessarily have to believe in what's happening. The sound is definitely working with your nervous system regardless, right? But when you understand what's happening, it feels like you are more part of the experience, because then you are noticing everything that's flowing through. You are having these memories come up, and, you know, kind of insights that come up for you. So it does make a difference in that sense. Not that it's not working if you don't believe it, but you are part of it more if you believe and you understand what is it that's happening. So I have people that feel all types of things. The system also responds in a variety of different ways. Like, we talk about crying. Crying is the only way that we can release a stress hormone complete, like whole stress hormone, without being processed by the liver. Crying is the only way that we can do that. It comes out in the tears, right? Which is a fascinating thing, because you can see that crying is a very powerful thing to release stress. Like, something happens and you get like this huge shock in your system, and if you cry, you feel relieved. afterwards. So it makes sense. Your liver is not having to process all of that stress. It's just coming out as a whole hormone within your tears. But the system does a lot more than that. I have a lot of people that start yawning in session, and I do too. When I'm practicing, I'm doing session, I'm the practitioner, I do yawn a lot as well. What we learn is that one of the ways that the system stores a lot of tension and stress within the physical body is in the shoulders. Like the shoulders get very tense, right? Very tense, and there's a lot of stress stored in there. When they start yawning, besides this whole big breath that it is, that comes out, that is also relaxing, it's stretching all the muscles around the neck area that brings a lot of relaxation to the system. So people do a variety of different things. Sometimes they shake, you know, they're laying down and they just feel like they have to shake, and they do it. Sounds, you know, they feel like they have to breathe, like,
Vocalizing the pain to get it out. Yeah.
Vocalizing whatever it is that's moving through, right? And it's very efficient as well. If you just do it, like you're by yourself and you just, then you notice that like your system kind of opens up and relaxes. So people do that because we provide a safe space that, and we tell them whatever the system brings up needs to be released. Don't suppress it. It's coming up because it has been suppressed already. So don't suppress it. Whatever you feel, just let it flow through you. There's no right or wrong way to do the session. You need to do weird sounds. You need to scream. Go for it. And people do. So some people definitely feel the necessity of screaming. I remember someone that I do remote sessions, she has a daughter and she says, I don't feel right when I scream and my daughter is at home. So she gets a pillow and she puts it over her mouth so that she can scream. And she feels fantastic once we're done with the session. She's so grateful for the opportunity to have that release. So people do so many things. Sometimes the muscles tend to cramp up before releasing. So we call it, they call it tetany. So the muscles tend to cramp up, your hands, your arms might tense, like become very, very, very tense. And then with the sound coming in and having an influence on it, little by little, it starts releasing. And once it releases, people have said to me, it feels like I have a new body because it's like, it's so fluffy and soft and this and that. And I'm like, wow, look at that. Someone that was like super tense before, and now they're released, they say it's like a new body.
I think as well, like the thing with tears, because it's so powerful, it's like you can feel it coming up. And then when you choose to let them out, because you can choose to hold it back, you give yourself permission to release that. And you're letting yourself release that emotion. So I know a lot of people can probably point to a point where they've, you know, just held on to things and then just finally cried. And like, that was when I just let it out. Because it does feel very, not good. It helps a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I would say that's literal when we say that. I cried and I was able to let it out. You literally let it out because now it's not tensing your system anymore. It's out. You released it.
So when you're listening to other sounds, so like or any sounds or music, do you perceive them in or how do you perceive that? Do you perceive them like, do they have like a texture or a color, or can you feel them like impacting onto your aura and your energy? What is the sound world for you?
It's kind of the same thing. It varies as well. One very common thing is density, that we feel the density of the energy that's stored in there. I'm bringing the fork and let me just show you real quick how it is the one with the sound. So the one with the sound doesn't have the weights in here, and then it makes a sound. So when I'm moving it through the field and I'm listening to see if the sound is coherent, if it's full or if it's blocked, and I'm moving it and there's a blockage of energy right in front of it that doesn't let the sound move through and come back to the fork, I can feel that density. Sometimes it's like palpable. It's almost like you can touch it, you know, because you can see that you striked and the sound is started, but it's not moving. And then it kind of shuts off the fork. It muffles the sound. It's very intriguing. It's very interesting. And like I said, I don't know the minutiae of the whole thing that's happening, but what I learned is to observe the behavior, make the changes that the system is asking. If it's asking for a different frequency, I go and grab it. If it's asking to just continue sending this one that the body is using this one to do its self-reparation, I just continue sending until I notice that as soon as I strike and the sound continue traveling freely, we've done it. So then we continue moving, looking for more blockages. So it depends. Sometimes, like I said, I get to see images that have to do with that blockage that is right in front of the fork that I need to move. And an interesting thing is that I talk about whatever it is that's coming up for me to the client, and something comes up for them that's right on, right? So sometimes I might say in the field also, we look at the field that we have around our bodies, like the rings on a tree. That as we grow older, it's kind of telling the age. So when we start on the outer edge of the field, 5, 6 feet from the body, we start on the outer edge, we are working like gestation, birth, and then we start working on the person's childhood. But that's kind of like we're eyeballing, right? I'm eyeballing the field here, and I say, you know, in childhood, about this age to that age, kind of give them a window. There's some blockage here that can be related to X, Y, and Z. And then they remember right away, like they have a memory come up, they have a realization come up. And as soon as they speak it out, I can see that the next time I strike it, the sound is totally clear, moving through it like completely clear. So it's one of the things that you said. I love the wording that you used. It's almost like giving permission for the thing to release. And it is exactly how we look at it. The person remembering that memory, that situation, or having that insight and speaking it out loud, it's almost like they're giving permission to that situation to be resolved. So that this blockage, this density that was just holding in there, kind of tensing up the system, gets resolved. And then the sound can flow freely, and the person can feel that in their bodies, in their minds. They can feel that they are more grounded, that they're more relaxed, that they are not as fearful as before, or as tense and rigid as before. They're more laid back and more trusting in life. So there is this interconnection as well of the memories that come up for them, and they speak it out loud, and the system resolves that thing within itself.
And do you see these things externally or internally? Is that like an inner visions and things?
That's a good question too. I think both, because I have memories of looking at my carpet and kind of seeing some sort of image that I described to the client, and they have a memory about it. It's almost like my mental state is kind of very connected to the client's mental state. So if they think about something or there's a memory coming up for them, I get to see some parts of images that's related to that. But I don't know, right? Because that's on my story. So it's just random stuff that comes up for me. But when I share with them, it has this huge significance. So answering to your question, I remember looking at my carpet because I do it looking to the floor. I hold my forks like kind of like waist distance height. So I get to look down. So I remember looking at my carpet and seeing things, kind of just things. It's almost like thoughts popping up and kind of forming images. And I share with them. And sometimes I want to really listen to the fork. And for whatever reason I'm having difficulty, I close my eyes to really listen to the minutiae of how the frequency is being expressed. And then I get to see things also, like with my eyes closed. So I think it depends, you know, what it is that we are working with, what the client has been through. Yeah, it's not a one way fits all ever, like ever is. Even with the same client, as we do more sessions, every session is completely different than the other one. We have sessions that we call more intense, that they feel a lot going on. We have sessions that they almost fall asleep because they don't feel anything. But what happens with those as well is that the falling asleep, the relaxing, that deep relaxation that the nervous system gets into, it's very efficient as well. It's very effective because the nervous system gets to self-repair in that relaxation. So there's no right or wrong way. It's just going to happen the way the nervous system needs that day at that time.
And is there any current innovations in the field of sound therapy? Like, I didn't, it was quite a new field to me, but like, what's the new stuff that's in vogue, or are people trying new stuff out, or is there modern technologies coming in, or different methods? What's the scene look like these days?
Yeah, I do hear of not new things coming out, but one thing that you said earlier on that I'm really in that vibe is that I like simplicity. I think less is more. I think when I try to make things too complex, it becomes kind of hard for me to read the field, to understand the session. So I try to keep things as simple as possible. What I keep an eye on is the research that they are doing with this method that I practice. This method is called biofuel tuning, because we are literally tuning, like you tune an instrument, we are tuning this biofuel that surrounds our bodies. So there is a lot of research coming out with this specific method. And a lot of them are related, which is fascinating to me, are more related to mental states. They are working with people that are chronically depressed or chronically anxious. And sometimes they even medications don't work much for them. So we do sessions with them and then do kind of a evaluation of their situation. Again, they are not diagnosed as depressed or anxious anymore. It kind of resolves the situation. So I'm very fascinated by that, by the mental states that get corrected by the nervous system coming back into balance and functioning in coherence. So this is the stuff that I look at a lot. I know that there are, you know, other methods and other explorations that they are doing on how sound has an effect on the body, on the mind. But I do look at this method that I practice. And there's a lot of research going on right now. My trainer, she partnered with Qi. Qi is a platform that does a lot of study on the biofield also. And so they are studying together sound and the biofield. So it's there's a lot of research coming out right now in the US that they are still researching this stuff, which fascinates me. I love it.
I think maybe it could be more sign of the times. Maybe say like 400 years ago, we had a different lifestyle and different challenges. So nowadays people are more in their heads, maybe physically they're better taken care of with medicine and nutrition. So they're stressing mm-hmm. about things or screen time, for example. So maybe that is what's more commonly needed to be treated now. So the methods and things that you're being intuited towards just are there to serve that particular zeitgeist illness, so to speak, for want of a better word.
Yeah, it brings a lot of distortion into the system, the lifestyle that we live today. So another thing that I help with the clients as well is bring them back into simplicity. You know, like I was saying, once we're done with the session, if you can take your shoes off and put your feet directly on the ground and let the ground kind of soak in this stuff that we are discharging, that we are releasing from your system, it's so efficient. It's so discharging. Spend some time in nature, you know, go out for a walk, listen to the birds. All these things are very relaxing to the system. That's the initiation of healing. Get the system to relax. The system know how to do its own healing. I compare it to like a cut in your finger. You can't consciously look at it and heal it and get the cells to reorganize themselves and go back to closing the hole and all that. You can't do that. Your system does that. While you are moving around doing your own thing, the system is healing the cut. It's the same thing. We bring relaxation into the nervous system. It's healing everything else. It's balancing out all the systems that are distorted, that are out of balance. So I also help the clients to come back to simplicity. Go out in nature, listen to silence, listen to just the wind on the leaves of the trees, listen to the birds. Let nature show you relaxation. It's very, very effective.
I think as well, because we live with a lot of electrical things as well. So there's this electronic fields and everything around us all the time. So obviously that's an artificial frequency that's affecting everything else we do. So a lot of people, especially if they live in the city, then it distorts your field. Or it has an impact on it, so it needs quite conscious effort to either get out in nature or meditate and sort of get back in your body to at least reset that certain amount.
Yeah, it's these little breaks that we can take. You know, maybe you can find a park that you can go and sit and have lunch, you know, something like that. Like for a few minutes at least, you can go and sit there and disconnect from all these electric things that you're talking about and let just you and Earth work together, you know, discharge all this stuff that we accumulate from all these devices, all these artificial things, like you were saying. It's huge for the system. It makes a huge difference for the system if you can take a break from these things that are just adding more stress and tension to the system and let it release onto the earth.
So, without getting too personal, just from a more professional basis, is there any particular challenges you've had to overcome or any particular highs and like highlights that you've had in your time doing this work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said in the beginning, I started looking for these type of healings because I had my own stuff going on, right? So I come from a very abusive childhood that caused a lot of problems. I started abusing alcohol. I was about 12 years old. I was already drinking and drinking a lot. So it was very hard because you get addicted to these things very easily. And that was my life throughout my teen years, my 20s. I got to finally move to the US in my mid-20s. And when I got there, I started discovering these things, you know, and I actually started researching heart conditions because my father was an alcoholic and he had a heart attack at 37 and he passed away when I was 4. So this was kind of a common thing where I came from in Brazil. It was an area that there's a lot of very intense use of alcohol. So people have heart attacks, they have, you know, problems that come out of it and take their lives very early. So when we got to the US and I was in my mid-20s, I started taking a look at this stuff because, you know, I was heading to my 30s house and my dad was only 37. So I was kind of scared for my own health. And I couldn't stop drinking alcohol by then because I started so early. I was super addicted by then. So I started researching more on health condition, like heart condition. How could I work my way around it? I came across epigenetics that teaches us that our environment has a huge effect on how our genes will develop. So it's not that like my dad had a heart problem and I would have to develop. What we inherit from our parents and grandparents is the lifestyle. And then we ended up developing the same stuff. So my dad was an alcoholic, I was an alcoholic. So that's how we developed the same stuff as our parents, our grandparents. And learning that was a huge aha moment for me because I started thinking like, well, that gives me the whole power back because if I can change my lifestyle and not live my dad's lifestyle, I don't have to develop the same stuff that he did. So I started trying to figure out how to change lifestyle because it was really toxic. I ate very badly. I didn't exercise. I was drinking a lot. It was like I was doing all the wrong things and not doing any of the good things for my body. So I started researching, how do you even do that? Because now I'm already addicted to alcohol, but I want to get out of it. And I came across these tools. I came across meditation, how meditation can help you to shift your lifestyle and start doing things that are better for your body, for your mind, and quit the things that are not. And this is what brought me to sound. So I have healed so much through this work, everything that I share with my clients. I also share meditation with them because I studied meditation for many years. So I share that as well with the clients. We kind of do somewhat of a guided meditation in session, which is very helpful. So my sessions are very different than other people that were trained in this method because of all everything else that I bring to it, all the other trainings that I have done, everything else that I implement in it makes it very unique, very different. And I quit alcohol within, I don't know, a few years of doing this research and it started changing my lifestyle. I didn't need alcohol anymore. It's been probably 10 years that I don't drink alcohol. Totally changed my diet. My diet now, it's like full of good stuff for me. And I learned also how to appreciate it. So it's not like I see to eat stuff and it's like a bunch of veggies and things like that. And I'm like, oh, gotta eat this. I love it. I learned to appreciate, you know, eating good stuff that's good for me. I drink mainly water and, you know, herbal teas and things like that. So I have shifted mentality in a way that's like my life have completely transformed. Where I came from as well, the poverty mindset, the scarcity and lack mindset is really prevalent. And I had that with me. I had all that conditioning with me. So even though I was doing great work, I was always struggling financially. And until I used these tools to shift the conditioning, and I have shifted all these conditionings, and life has just transformed in front of my eyes. Life now is easier than it was back then. I don't have these temptations dragging me down, you know, these substances like abusing the wrong foods and things like that. I don't have none of those necessities anymore because now the system works in coherence. It's balanced. I eat the right things and I appreciate eating the right things. You know, I drink the right things and I live a way calmer lifestyle. I do my meditations, do yoga, go out in nature every single day. So this is what I try to share with the clients. It's the combination of all the things that I have learned that worked so effectively for me and for many clients that I have had is what I bring to the table when I'm working with someone one-on-one. It's the combination of all these elements.
Yeah, and like you said, it's one thing just getting them back on track, but then showing them this is the way to sustain that because otherwise you'll go back into the old roots and there's no point adjusting it and then falling back into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to finish, is there one question that I haven't asked you that you'd like me to ask? Or something that I've missed that you'd like to say?
Nothing comes to mind. I think you did a great job. I remember that I got to talk about
Okay.
all the things that I think it's good for the people to listen to. The remote sessions. You can go to my website. You can get a free session for you to experiment with it. Can reach out if you have any question. I love talking about this. I have so much passion for what I do because of the effects on me and other people. It's still to this day, as I'm doing session for someone, I'm around this very coherent sound from the forks. So I feel fantastic just doing sessions. So I'm very passionate about this. If anybody has a question that came up that we didn't talk about, feel free to reach out. I am available. I will respond to whatever it is that you request. And yeah, I do feel like we talked about all the things that I think it's relevant for someone to be introduced to this method. Great job.
Great, yeah. Thanks for coming on. It's been really interesting, and I'll leave the website address in the show notes, and people can check you out. And yeah, all the information's there on the website.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate the platform.
Fascinating interview, and I really enjoyed speaking to Mayara. You can check her out at mayarasouza.com. The link is in the show description, and check me out at mattsimonguitar.com, and find me on Instagram at the same handle, and you can find me on YouTube as well. Cheers, see you later.